Get Fresh with Jen is brought to you by Pet Grocer, the holistic health food store for your pets.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Get Fresh with Jen at Pet Grocer. And we are here with Sarah. And today we have a fun topic. We are going to be talking about soup, stews, broth, and stock. Perfect timing this time of the year. It is the time of the year where we start to bundle up and we're watching as the leaves are changing color. We're digging out our stock pots and our crock pots to start making our soups, stews, broths, and stocks. So, Sarah, I grew up in a household where we did not eat a wide variety of foods, and I certainly never saw a stock or a broth or a soup made from scratch. So I had to learn about these things as my knowledge of health and wellness grew. But realizing how easy it is, how delicious and healthy, it was a complete surprise to me. So today, with a mind to the changing seasons, I wanted to chat about how and why we would use things like soup, stews, broths, and stocks with pets and yourself.
Yeah, I love this soup. This soup season is one of my favorite seasons. I'm a big, big celebrator of autumn. And it was only, you know, within the last 10 to 15 years that I kind of got on my own soup journey, I guess. Because, yeah, my mother, I came from a line of people who made wonderful meals and loved using like whatever was in the kitchen. And it didn't necessarily mean making stock. You might throw some bones in a pot and everything, but there was, it wasn't for the intent of making just broth. It was like a whole meal kind of thing. So it wasn't until I became my own adult living on my own. And it's like, how hard is it to make this broth? And it's so easy. And once you get going, it's, I have like my stock bag in the freezer. And as I gather up bones and vegetables and things, I just keep adding to it. And then every once in a while I dump it in a pot. And it's wonderful. And my dogs have loved it over the years, as have we. It's so handy just having stock ready and waiting to go. And it's more economical too. Like there's wonderful health benefits to it. And then there's just like the economy of using everything you buy and throwing it into a pot to make another staple for your pantry. So it's exciting.
Well, one of the things that I, especially when I sat down to kind of make sure I've got all my ducks in a row and get the links. We will have a blog post following our podcast about this. And within there, we have all the links for different research studies I might mention or recipes or stuff like that. And when I was looking at that, one of the things that stood out to me that I really hadn't paid attention to before was that I was confusing the difference between a stock and a broth.
So I'm including links
about that.
Yeah.
Now, and it gets a little bit technical. So officially, the difference is that broth is made from meat and veggies, meat or veggies. And it tends to be more liquid when it's cool. But stock is made using bones and will tend to be rich in collagen and be more like a jelly when it's cool. And both have their place. They have different profiles we'll mention. And this can be confusing because you'll often hear people talk about bone broth, which is really bone stock because there's no bones in broth. So technically it's not a broth, but a stock. And the words certainly do seem to be used interchangeably with everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. From a culinary perspective, we throw those words around a lot. If you're getting into the nitty gritty of like the what nutrients and elements are you trying to extract from said vegetables, meat, or bones, that's when you get, you have to start getting a little bit more specific.
About what you want, yes, and to what you use them for. So broth has less calories and it has less vitamins and minerals than a stock will, dramatically so. It's the kind of thing that you would typically use in place of water in recipes, right? Because it's more flavorful but still thin like a water. So I would use it in a broth, in a cream, I would use the broth in a cream sauce. Maybe you want to boil your rice or pasta with it. You could boil vegetables with it. You could put it in casseroles, gravies, soups, sauteed dishes, a whole bunch of stuff. Broth is pretty fast and easy to make too, right? Typically you use fresh pieces of meat or veggies with some water and simmer it for about 30 minutes. That's it. Done. Super easy. So I think that's all I really want to touch on for broth because it's pretty basic. Treat it like a flavorful water in my mind. Now, stock. This is where I really love to have this discussion. So stock is our powerhouse of flavor and nutrition. And it's the one that's made using bones that are rich in marrow and collagen. So because it was new to me and it might be new to other people, I'm going to briefly talk about how is it made and what do we do with it. So there's a couple of different ways to make stock. And they'll give you this rich, thick finish product that will turn into, like I mentioned, that jelly type consistency when it's cooled. So the basics of this are to add meaty bones, such as beef marrow bones or chicken feet, to some water, and you simmer it for a long while. We used to actually have people who came into Pet Grocer in Alliston to buy our chicken feet who have no pets. And they did it just specifically so that they could make a stock, right? So anyways, some people will swear that you have to add vinegar and others don't use it. And either is fine. I do want to touch on, if you do use vinegar, that I would recommend using an organic apple cider vinegar. If you do that, look for one that has a label that says with mother. So you want the one with mother. That the mother is the brown solid bits that are floating around inside of it, and it gathers on the bottom of the jar. You just give it a shake before using it to mix it up, and then you can use that apple cider vinegar in your stock. One day I'd like to do a podcast just about apple cider vinegar, because it's such a powerhouse and there's so many awesome things that it does for your body. So we'll talk about that one day. But for now, you can add it or don't. It's up to you. Personally, when I make my stock, I don't add it. And I've had excellent results with my stock without using it. I do that because I want to keep the stock as plain as possible in case we have any pets or people that have some sort of intolerance to it, because we sell our stock that I make at the store. So mine is no vinegar. Now, I also believe that when you're making a stock, you do need to start with the best quality, organic, if possible, meat and bones. Makes a difference. For our chicken stock that's available at Pet Grocer, it comes from my own chickens that I grow on my homestead. So they are organic, they're fully pastured, free-range birds, and the flavor of this chicken is not like anything that you're used to at the grocery store.
It is completely different. I was so happy I bought one recently. It's night and day. The color of the bird, just when you take it out of the freezer, is completely different than your typical supermarket meat. And the flavor and the juiciness and the size, it was a wonderful experience. I'm looking forward to our next chicken.
It's different. Yeah. So even we've got some people who are vegetarians who occasionally add in a little bit of meat. So their bodies don't become intolerant to digesting that protein if they need it. And they buy my birds. And they're always like, this is just amazing. And of course, if they're doing it from the standpoint of the animal welfare, they're much happier because they know the life that my birds have, right? It's a very different life from a feedlot bird. Anyhow, you're right. They're delicious and really juicy and super, the color is amazing. Anyways, so even like the organic grocery store chickens, the ones that are organic, they don't even carry that same flavor profile. And there was a local farm that had done a study on, they actually sent the birds out from the grocery store and their own pastured birds to see the mineral and vitamin content. And even that was significantly different just from a properly pastured bird. Now, the farm that did it, they don't do what I consider full pasturing. They have them in chicken tractors. Our birds are left to wander freely all over. A fox enjoyed one of our birds, unfortunately, this year.
I bet he did.
Yeah, literally have to walk free, right? So they come and go and they get lots of sun and they are very super happy birds. And it changes the vitamin and mineral profile of what you're using for your pets and for yourself. Anyhow, I love my chickens and I love talking about them. Okay, so we're going to start with a really good quality organic meat in order to get the best health benefits for yourself and your pets from your stock. When you make this, you can also use roasted bones. So when I roast my chickens, I'll keep the leftover bones and add that into my pot for an extra rich flavor that you can only get from having roasted bones.
It does change the flavor. Like sometimes I'm in a rush and I'll just be throwing in whatever raw bones I've collected. And other times I'm like, oh, we're doing the roast ones. Yes. And sometimes I'll, if it doesn't come from a dinner, there have been times where I've just ended up with lots of bones and I've had some extra time and I've pre-roasted them before they go in the pot. Yes. It changes the color. It changes the flavor. I'm sure it changes nutrients and stuff along the way. Yeah. I don't know as much about that, but the flavor alone is worth it.
It's really, really good. So when I do mine, I'll do those leftover, the roast chicken bones. And I'll also add in raw necks, like you were mentioning the raw meat. So I do raw necks, I do the heads, I do the feet and the gizzards. And it creates such a rich, anyways. So then you cover it all up with water and set it to simmer. We don't boil this. This is a key difference. I learned the hard way.
Yeah, I did. I learned the hard way as well. I was like, why is my broth or stock or whatever always look so wonky and cloudy? And yeah. And after doing a bit of reading,
and watery.
Keeping it nice and low.
Low.
Does a whole bunch of wonderful stuff for it.
Yes. So I literally put it in my stock pot. I put it on the lowest possible setting on my stove and cover it and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it come up. And I do a massive amount at once because I'm making it for the store and for my own family. So just set it and forget it. So you can also add in veggies and herbs and spices in there. You can mix it up however you like. There's a lot of yummy things you can put in. Mm-hmm. But then I cover the pot. And I'll leave just a tiny spot for the steam to escape on the lid. And that won't keep all the water inside there dripping back down inside of it. It essentially turns it into distilled water, right? So we have to give it a little bit of space for that steam to escape so that you can make that nice, thick, rich stock. So now when it comes to talking about how long to do it, things are different. I have a household member that has mast cell activation syndrome. So we don't like to do a really long simmer because it will have slightly higher histamine levels. Mm. But most people and pets will do great with a stock that's been simmering anywhere between 6 and 48 hours.
Whoa.
Everyone has their opinion.
Wow. So, 48 hours.
Yes. Yeah. Some people are hardcore. No, I have never done one that long, but, typically, and opinions are diverse on which is the correct amount of time. The stock that we make for the store has a short simmer of less than 8 hours. And it is still very rich, thick stock, full of collagen and flavor and a nice rich color. So even a shorter duration will still get you that same beautiful benefit. So I strain out all of the items once it's done, and our leftover liquid is our stock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, stock, as you know, is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it can be used as a soup base, or you can eat it just as it is with no add-ins. When you see, you know, all these things online saying, drink bone broth, and it's bone broth, drink, it's good for you. What they really probably mean is stock, not broth. They mean a bone stock, right?
Yes.
Because that's where you're getting the real health benefits. An actual broth doesn't have that much of a vitamin mineral profile. It's watery because it doesn't have a lot of stuff in it. Mm-hmm. The thicker stuff has your vitamin and mineral profile quite high in some areas. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would think with all the bones going into you get out of it what you put into it. So,
yes.
You know, if broth is that kind of simple veggie meat base and stock is that richer mineral dense bone going in, you're going to get a lot. You're going to get something different out of it completely.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And so I'll use mine. I like to use it as a stock, as a base for my soup, and I'll add in veggies and spices. I'll use it as a base when I make a stew that the whole family, including our dog, gets.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it with cats too. My husband loves this soup that I make from this so much that I'll freeze small individual portions because I'll make a big giant pot of it and then just freeze it into individual sized soup portions.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just pulls them out constantly. And then when he's getting down to the last 5 or 6 in the freezer, he'll be like, it's time for you to make more soup. And away we go. Now, because I am also using it for my pets, I never use onions in my stock or my broth. Because that way my dog can have it as well. And I can make it for pets at the store for dogs and cats.
I do the same.
Yeah. Now, if you do love onions in your soup, just remember not to share that one with your pets. For us, the way we do it, because we don't ever want to mistakenly serve one with onion in it, is we will, if we want onion really badly in a product, we will fry up a little bit of onion fresh and add it to whatever it is we're eating at that time. Yep. Now, both cats and dogs can enjoy sharing in this bounty of your pet-safe broth or stock. But we want to remember that moderation is key here. When you give them the liquids, you are diluting the stomach acids a bit, and you're filling them up just as if we had drank a large amount. Consider how small that little stomach is and give them a suitable amount. For pets, people will like to use it as a hydration and electrolyte boost during the hot summer months. You can just serve it cold. People use it as a food topper. Or they can use it to make stews for pets. I like to freeze mine in little ice cube trays so I can pull out just a small pet-sized amount at once to use rather than having the whole thing there. We carry a really, really nice blended broth at the store made by Primal Pet Foods. And I'll tell people to go ahead and defrost that whole container, shake it up, and then refreeze it in ice cube trays. It's a myth that you can't defrost and refreeze things. And learning that had really set me free from the limitations that that imposes. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and defrost and refreeze and defrost and refreeze a few times. As long as you are defrosting it in the fridge, then you're pretty safe. If your pet has cancer or allergies, just be aware that each time you defrost things, the histamine levels do raise. They do go up. So if you have a histamine concern, stick with one defrost and refreeze. Portion it out so you have just the amount that you need to defrost at a time. So that's what I do with our household member that has that issue. Now for stews. This is my favorite part. I'm not a big soup lover, so the stews is where it really comes into play for me personally. So I love talking to people about this for pets too, because people don't often think about using stews for their pets. How often have you thought about making, well, you're an exception.
Yeah. Well, you know, with my current dog, I haven't, because I really do have to hide vegetables. If she sees them, she chooses to eliminate them. So I haven't thought about stews. However, with previous dogs, there were certainly a few instances where I literally made them their own pot of soup because I was in the mood and they got, you know, it was carrots and chicken and water and, you know, whatever herbs I grabbed from the garden that were dog friendly and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, they totally got soup. But I don't know. Maybe Lucy will be getting some stew soon.
So but I have a good one for her. Okay. She has no vegetables that she may like. And it's like, it's actually food that I make for our family. Mm-hmm. And I know I'll get into it in a second. So my point is that people don't think about making a stew for their pets, and it's a real shame. We have this belief set that's still prevalent to this day that you should never give table scraps, or that you should only feed a dog or cat, dog and cat food specifics to your pets.
I get this all the time in store. Like, someone will come in, and as many people know, we are a fresh feeding kind of store. We have such an incredible array of both fresh dry products and frozen and cooked and all kinds of stuff. And people will come in and talk to me and they'll be like, you know, I'm giving my dog this and this, but I never give them table scraps. I'm so careful not to give them table scraps. Mm-hmm. And I always have to just say, okay, great. And
it's okay.
No, you don't want to give them the super salty, not dog appropriate food. Mm-hmm. But oh my gosh, there's such an array of wonderful human food that we eat all the time that our dogs and cats would love and can totally have.
Yes. Well, in this belief, it shows you how powerful marketing messages are. There is an amazing amount of science to show that whole fresh foods are way better for our pets than a heavily extruded and processed kibble. Anyone with an interest in whole body health for a pet can easily do an internet search and find loads of data to prove this. However, think about this. Would your body do better with a heavily extruded product that needs to have a synthetic vitamin premix sprayed on it at the end of it in order to meet the basic requirements for life functions? It's a rhetorical question. Yeah. Or would it do better with a variety of fresh whole foods? Every single person I've met, including human doctors and medical practitioners, agrees and recommends that fresh whole foods are way better for our bodies. Are your dog and cat, other mammals just like you, so different in that need for fresh foods? Of course not.
No, and when you say it that way, it seems so obvious. And yet we have been kind of conditioned and reminded to be careful about their behavior. You don't want to feed them off the table with their behavior concerns and what they're eating and all that kind of thing. And food can be dangerous. And like, yes, some can. And yes, feeding your pets off your fork at the dinner table will give you behaviors that you may not enjoy later on.
Yes.
But giving them healthy foods that you are eating, totally different story.
And people are afraid. Common sense tells us that kibble is an unhealthy choice once you look at the basics of how it's made. So it's no wonder we've got this skyrocketing poor health in our pets today. However, as you have seen at the store, and we know, baby steps are often needed to help people get away from this kind of brainwashing about extruded and heavily processed foods. So if you do feed kibble and you aren't ready to switch, you can still feel hopeful. You can make small steps today to improve the health of your pets by adding little bits of safe, healthy leftovers from your meals to your pet's bowl. Add the veggie trimmings, add the meat trimmings, add some eggs, add some fish. If you happen to make a lovely stew that has no onions and whole food ingredients in there, so no sauce mixes from the store, for example, If you're making that for your family, you can share it with your pet as a topper. Right? These all are great add-ins. If you want to add fresh to the bowl, but you aren't sure what you can safely add, you can pop into Pet Grocer and find out from the staff what will fit in with your lifestyle to add to your pet's bowl. Even a small bit of fresh goes a long way. And as an example, there was one study that was published. I'll include a link on our blog. It was in the Journal of American Veterinary Medical Association. Mm-hmm. It found that when dogs consumed vegetables with their dry commercial kibble at least 3 times a week, there was a 70% reduction in the development of bladder cancer.
70%.
So 70%.
That's huge.
For adding vegetables in 3 days a week. You know, and it's like, it doesn't have to be beautifully gorgeous pieces of broccoli. It could be the stems. It could be, so for me, the pepper tops. Yeah. I don't know what it is with my family. No one likes the top piece of the pepper.
Well, so, shaped funny. It's not as nice.
I don't know. So if I'm not going to blend it up and use it in something, okay. I'll chop it up and put it in with the dog's food, right? Like, oh, there's lots of options there. The ends of the carrots that you trim off, right? Like, there's lots of.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Our previous dogs would wait at the end of the counter anytime we made any kind of dinner or salad that involved vegetables. They were waiting for the bottoms of the lettuce and the tops of the peppers and the bits of the carrot. And they thought they were getting like the best treats ever. And I was like, oh, you're saving them from the compost. How lucky for you.
Technically, they're still composting, just in a different way than we had planned.
They're doing it differently.
That is a direct route. So, yeah. So, I mean, we can see how powerful that is. As another example, we know about flaxseed. Can reduce tumor size in human breast cancer patients. I'm including a link for that too. Like, there's loads of information out there about how food can help our bodies to work better. And when they work better, they want to get back into balance and your body will attempt to heal itself. That's what we do, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I got a bit off topic there. So stews, they are really aromatic and they can help tempt your pet when they might need food, but they're not feeling so well. Maybe they're recovering from an illness or they've had dental surgery. Sometimes we'll see a lot of dogs that come in with kidney disease. And just as they're starting at the beginning stages of getting that diagnosis, they tend to have a lack of appetite. So sometimes we'll recommend stews that are a bit more veg heavy to help get those dogs through that initial timeline while they work towards balancing a diet that fits with their individual needs for their health concerns. Mm-hmm. Personally, I like to add stew to my raw fed dog's diet as a way to change things up once in a while. So even though she's already got a really awesome, you don't get much better than her fresh food diet, I don't think.
Right.
Including the occasional hunting in my backyard. Like, you don't get fresher than that, poor wildlife. But I do like to add in a bit of a cooked diet to her variations as well to make sure that her body can tolerate cooked foods when it's needed. So a dish that I make, and this is one that maybe Lucy will like, is we'll take the dark meat chicken, the thighs and the legs, and add it to our crock pot with either the broth or stock. I typically use our stock. And then we'll add a tiny bit of coconut oil, some turmeric, fresh or dried oregano, and some black pepper. You can really add any herbs you like in there that you like. We put it all in there in the morning, go about our workday while it's cooking on low, and then by dinner we have this fresh and rich tasting dish that's full of healthy and healing ingredients that our body loves and our dog loves. So Tetley, my dog, she already knows the smell of this one. And she will walk around all day long, air sniffing in the kitchen in anticipation.
Oh, no.
She just loves it. For the humans, I'll make up occasionally a pot of rice. It's not something I recommend as an everyday food. Rice is a weird one. And I rarely recommend it in pets. Another podcast for another day. Or I'll make up egg noodle pasta and I can use that as a base to put the chicken stew on. That's mostly for the kids who want a little bit of extra starch and deliciousness in there for them. But you don't need the base. So I like to shred up the meat and let it sit in there to absorb that soupy mixture and then eat it straight as it is. It's so good. I've actually brought it to the store as my food a few times. And when I'm heating it up, people will be like, what's that smell? And I'm like, yes, that's my lunch, which I can also feed to my dog.
Yeah.
And so you can eat it straight like that. It's anti-inflammatory, it's immune modulating. And if you add certain herbs in like oregano, you'll get some of their benefits as well, right? Mm-hmm. So the mineral and vitamin mix on this one is excellent and it's super easy. It's almost no effort. It feels like cheating because it's so easy to do, right? And I give it in to cats or dogs in moderation. And what a treat and so healthy. And they will love it. They will go crazy for this. You can top it on top of kibble. You can add it to raw food as long as it's cool when you're serving it.
Right.
Or just use it as a special treat. So you can think about, that's just like one example of a recipe, which I'll write up for us for our blog. You can do this with beef as well, right? Think of all the combinations you can do with beef, veggies and stewing beef, or even the ground beef. At Pet Grocer, we have regeneratively grown grass-fed beef available at the store, and it's the same price as the feedlot beef you get at the grocery store, but the texture and taste is so different.
It is night and day. Every time I make burgers or meatballs or something for company, they always ask me what the secret flavor is. It's actually the meat.
Which is so surprising.
Going into it, like I'm not, that's not a seasoning. That's the quality of the beef going into the dinner. It's incredible.
So it's so different. Beef, admittedly chicken, yes, you can taste the difference. And yes, you can see the color and yes, you can see the juiciness and there's no doubt there's a difference, but in beef, it's shockingly different. The flavor and texture profile is so much better.
Yeah. I didn't realize beef could taste like that. Like the first time it happened, even I was like shocked at the dinner table. Like, what did I do to this burger? Like it was the simple, like all I did was salt and pepper the darn thing and put it on the barbecue. And yet the flavor was just off the charts. And then I was like, oh my gosh, it's the beef.
Yeah.
It's the cow that Pet Grocer bought. Yep.
So, and it's funny, I don't know. I mean, because it's the cow that I bought, I don't know if all ground beef that is purely regeneratively raised and grass fed will be that way or not. I suspect it is, but yeah. I know for the cow that we bought, like I bought a whole cow. Mm-hmm. I got to decide how the meat was processed. And so I had some of it cut up into steaks, but the vast majority, which means all of the different cuts of meat got put into the ground beef. So you're getting some of those really premium cuts inside the ground beef too, right? So like, it's pretty good. And we really wanted it to be accessible to people. This was especially during the pandemic, right? Where everything was up in the air about groceries. And we didn't want people to be excluded from having the option of having a really high quality, healthy, health benefits from high quality food. So we've left the pricing as low as possible. We don't really make a lot of anything on this, right? Like it's mostly we're passing this on to the clients. Cause I went to the trouble of going direct to the farmer to get this and paying for the whole cow at once so that I could get the good pricing. And so that's why we're able to sell it at what I feel is very fair pricing for people so that they can include it for their pets and for themselves. Mm-hmm. As you know, we all eat it.
Make a delicious beef stew with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I find with the beef in particular, even though my dog prefers chicken, as soon as I pull out one of those beef to defrost and it's in the fridge, she's immediately sniffing. Now she's a scent detection dog. So yes. I really pay attention to things that she smells. Right. And my gosh, that beef, she's just like in love with the smell of it. Even frozen, she still is like, I can smell that's the good stuff. More please. Anyway, so really this is it. Like visit our blog at petgrocer.ca, click on the Get Fresh link, and you can see, we'll include some of the links to the studies that we've talked about, and we'll have some recipes and some links to other websites with other recipes. And don't be afraid to just experiment a little bit with adding fresh food to your pet's bowl. And even if you're already, like we are, doing a really healthy, high quality, thoughtful, fresh food diet, you can still change things up. We get in a rut as humans. We tend to do the same things over and over again. And it's just habit. We're busy. So adding something that's new and fresh, like making a stew for your family and going, oh, I'm going to give some of that to the dog, right? Mm-hmm. Or I give some to my cat, especially. With cats, people forget to try new things with cats. Cats tend to be not as adventurous in their food selections. They improve on their food
a bit in a more strong manner than dogs sometimes, from what I
feel like maybe I was a cat in a past life because I'm also the same way. So I get you, cats. I get you. Mm-hmm. But if you just have small bits and if they're showing interest in what's on your plate, put a small bowl down for them. Mm-hmm. Let them have a little something that's fresh and new. I would go much slower with introduction of stuff to cats than I would with dogs. Most people know they have a dog where they're like, oh, my dog's sensitive, or my dog has a stomach of steel, and they know, right? So you can safely make that choice for them. With cats, I would always err on the side of caution, higher volume of liquid, lower volume of solids, small bits at a time. mm-hmm. and then watch that litter box and see how things are processing, because we are what we absorb, not what we eat. So there we go. Any other comments, Sarah, do you want to tell people about this fall and what they should do with soups, stews, stocks, and broths?
Well, if they have not tried giving their pet any of those delicious options, this is the time to give it a try. Yes. We have done it not only with our current dog, who came to us not enjoying water and not drinking enough to the point mm-hmm. where we could see that it was affecting her health.
Right.
Broth was the gateway. It was the bridge to getting her to drink. She was interested in the meaty smell. I was putting it on top of her food. Now she's a water drinker. And in that interim, we knew that she was getting nutrients and hydration during the summer months. And it made a huge impact on her health and her coat and her interest in eating as well. She wasn't the most ferocious eater. And with other dogs that we've had, broth was just that exciting incentive topper. We had one dog who would go on, you know, a bit of a hunger strike, letting us know that he wanted something to change. He wanted something new and fresh on top of his meal. And so broth was one of those things, and we would make soups for them. And as our dogs aged, we found broth was also really wonderful for their health and digestion. Mm-hmm. It gave them that extra hydration. It gave them that kind of got their appetite going again.
Yes.
At dog's age, their digestion changes, and sometimes they need an adjustment. It's not the same old stuff. So broth was a wonderful option, and we were doing soups and things at the time for those older dogs. And not only was it nice and soft for them to eat, we knew they were getting fresh meats and veg and that hydration, and it made their lives more comfortable and more enjoyable for all of us. So treat your dog to a delicious stock.
It made me think of something too, because we get a lot of people who will come into the store whose dogs have had dental surgery
or
dental cleanings, and we typically have raw feeders at the store, and they're like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. Especially if you've had dental extractions. So we tell them, don't do your raw diet for a week, go with cooked foods. And so we have a bunch of different cooked foods, but what would be really awesome, and I think this is what I would do with my dog, is I would get one of those pre-made cooked foods and then add the stock to make it just a little bit softer, because even when you have a cooked meat based food, it's still got a density to it. But if I really want to make it smooth, so it's not getting stuck in any of those extraction spots, I mean, you're supposed to rinse out the mouth after anyways, but I mean, I'm going to make it as easy as possible for them to digest after they've had the anesthetic for surgery, all that stuff. Right. And this is just like a fun treat anytime, but especially when you've had a surgery, it really helps the body heal.
When they're under the weather or when they're healing from something, it's that nice change. It's that appetite incentive to kind of get them going. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of removes the extra effort of the chewing and the eating. And the, like you said, raw food is wonderful. It can also be dense. So when you have a mouth that may not be 100% healed yet, making it easy for them to kind of drink their meal up, slurp it up, can be really helpful.
I'm in the middle of getting my certification as a master herbalist. And one of the things I remember that stood out for me that I had read during these courses was you should drink your food and eat your drinks.
Oh,
because you really need to have heavily processed. And this is for humans, right? So imagine dogs and cats who don't have the same amylase and other digestive enzymes right in the saliva when you first hit your mouth. So that's how much you want to process your food when you consume it in your body, right? So adding that little bit of extra liquid can kind of help it along.
Yeah.
Now there's a balance, right? You don't want so much liquid that you've diluted the stomach acid too much, but any animal that's ever on antibiotics, I would stop feeding raw food during that time and I would do a cooked food. And this is a great way to keep their hydration up, right? Because they're used to a really high water content type food or a moisture content food with a raw food. So you really need to keep that moisture up.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, there you go. So I really encourage people to not feel afraid or feel that it is out of reach or that the knowledge is too challenging, and either make your own soups and stews with using broths and stocks, or come into Pet Grocer in Alliston, petgrocer.ca, and take a look at the soups Sorry, not soups yet. I'm thinking about it. I actually did a video for us for this one of, I did turkey this Thanksgiving and I thought, okay, I'll take a video of me doing, making the stock and away I go. So maybe I'll turn that into a soup. But we do at the store have broth and stock available and we have cooked foods available and you can mix and match all those if you don't have the time or inclination to do it at home. So lots of options.
Fantastic.
Great. Thanks for talking to me today. Happy fall.
Yes, and happy fall to you too, Jen.
We'll talk soon.
Do you want to learn more about giving your pet a fresh lifestyle? If so, make sure to subscribe to this podcast. You can also check out petgrocer.ca and sign up for our once a month newsletter for updates and information. Thanks for listening. Information shared on Get Fresh with Jen at Pet Grocer is for informational purposes only. No food, product, treatment, or service mentioned should be considered to be healthcare advice, and it is not intended to be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, or to replace the recommendation or prescription of your pet's veterinarian.